And we're starting out our program with an interview with Sarah Starman, who is new in Iowa. She came with an organization called Mighty Earth and has been connecting with people and introducing her concerns with a forum, which was in Davenport, I believe, last week, and on Monday was in Des Moines. The title is Corn, Climate, and Conservation. And she's here to talk to us about it and to talk about what she's finding in Iowa. Sarah, are you there? Oh, well, good. First, how did the forum go on Monday?
It was wonderful. So we hosted it at the Central Public Library in Des Moines, and about 35 people came out to talk about the future of agriculture and our environment in Iowa. And so we had a panel of speakers talk about these issues, and it was a really great discussion.
Well, who were the speakers?
So the three speakers were Dr. Thomas Rosberg, who's a professor at Drake University and who is a sustainable farmer himself, and then Emma Schmidt, who's an organizer with Food and Water Watch, which is just a nonprofit that works to fight for clean water and healthy food. And then Margaret Hansborough, who's a campaign director and energy specialist at Mighty Earth.
Were there any representatives from organizations from Iowa?
Yes. Well, Food and Water Watch does have a longstanding chapter in Iowa, and then Mighty Earth has a local chapter here. And then also the Xerces Society was there to hand out some information.
For those who don't remember any the stories that we've done on the Xerces Society, what is that?
Oh, it's an organization that works to protect pollinators, particularly bees, which are, you know, the backbone of our food system and our ecosystems here.
I thought it was also interested in butterflies, as I recalled.
Yes.
That was their logo, was a butterfly.
Yeah, they've done a lot of work to protect the monarch butterflies as well.
And what is the underlying purpose and goal of Mighty Earth?
Our goal we're a national organization, and our overarching goal is to fight climate change and protect wild spaces, particularly forests, wetlands, and grasslands. In Iowa, our goal is to reform federal biofuel policy that's had a lot of negative impacts on Iowa's local environment.
What parts of the biofuel policy are you trying to reform?
So in particular, we're concerned about the mandate for corn and soy-based biofuels that's included in the Renewable Fuel Standard, because we feel that since the Renewable Fuel Standard created the mandate for corn and soy-based biofuels, we've seen a lot of wild land converted to cropland, and losing these wild spaces has destroyed wildlife habitat and increased water pollution, as well as contributed to climate change emissions.
You've seen wild lands converted to corn and soybeans in Iowa?
Yeah, so in Iowa, a recent study from the National Wildlife Federation showed that we have lost about 400,000 acres just in Iowa, and then about 7 million acres across the entire U.S.
Now, this is exactly to go from corn and soybeans from wild lands to corn and soybeans, not to urban sprawl, because we lose a lot to urban sprawl.
Yes, exactly. Those numbers are just to corn and soy. Although, yes, there has been a big issue with urban sprawl as well.
So what were some of the things that your panelists were talking about on Monday night?
Basically, what we wanted them to speak about was what are some of the challenges with our current agricultural system here in the Midwest, particularly in Iowa? You know, what are some of the biggest problems they see with the way we do things right now? And they spoke about water pollution, They spoke about monoculture. They spoke about, you know, climate change and energy use. And then after that, we asked all of the speakers to talk about what they thought the solutions were and what they thought the future of agriculture looked like. And given that we're facing a lot of environmental issues and climate change, how is our system going to adapt in the next 10 years to deal with these problems and to really become more sustainable? And then we also asked them, you know, what are some of the barriers to change? And if we know some of the better, more sustainable agricultural practices, what is standing in our way? And so it was really interesting to hear the three different speakers who have very different perspectives kind of dive into those questions.
Well, I'd be curious to know what they saw as standing in the way, because, of course, this is a pretty entrenched system now. What did they see as barriers, and how could we confront them?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting because all of the speakers had different perspectives, but one thing that did come up with was just our political system and the fact that many of the speakers felt that our current politicians and some of our legislators were introducing policies that didn't make it easy for small farmers and family farmers to be sustainable. And maybe there were some policies that benefited big agribusinesses more than rewarding small family farms who were trying to be more sustainable and, you know, actually protect our environment. And that we just needed better incentives at the federal level, at the state level, and at the local level for sustainable practices.
And I'm particularly interested in Rosberg, because I have been watching him. He's a lawyer who's been working on city codes, and I looked him up on his website, and it was sort of overwhelming what's involved in city codes. But Ames is currently looking at having a sustainable plan. And what specifically did he see? Did he see this mostly through just regulations everywhere, or what was it?
He actually did not talk about his work on city codes. He mostly spoke about, so for 5 years, he ran full-time a small family farm, and then he still produces a little bit of his own food, even though he's transitioned more to being a professor now. And he talked about what he tried to do on his farm in order to improve soil quality and reduce water pollution. And he feels that it was easy. So that was in the 80s when he did this. And he feels that since then, it's become much harder for people to run small farms sustainably the way he did then. And yeah, he thinks that there just needs to be more incentives and rewards for people who do things like using cover crops and, using less tillage and planting buffer zones to prevent water pollution and practices like that.
Did anyone talk about the changes that might occur because of the shock that our corn system has gotten from, say, international tariffs or the shock it's likely to get from flooding?
Yes, we did talk about the flooding, and especially the impact that that's going to have on our soil. And it was actually Professor Rosberg again who mentioned that it sometimes takes 75 to 100 years to develop an inch or two of topsoil, really good, fertile topsoil. And when we have these floods, it can take away, you know, 3 to 4 to 5 inches at a time. So we can lose hundreds of years of soil development in just one flood. And that's devastating to our farm system. And as we continue to see more increased rainfall and more flooding, I do think, there's going to be a lot of impacts on corn and soy and all kinds of agriculture in our state, and that it's going to start causing some real problems. And I hope that pretty quickly we can build a more resilient system that's more prepared for those impacts.
You have just brought up several issues that we either have dealt with or will be dealing with in the next few programs, particularly a concern with the watersheds, because actually there's a bill that I'm about to follow in the legislature that would de-incentivize buying land to protect it within the National Heritage Foundation. And, of course, this is a way to preserve particularly marginal lands, wetlands that should be preserved. But the argument was that young farmers need these lands, and they're being taken out of production by being set aside. So we need to be aware of what our current legislatures are doing, not just what our past ones have done that are destructive. Is there anything else that you would like to talk about before we leave?
Just kind of summarize how I see these issues and what I was thinking about during the panel. I think our agricultural system needs to change in a lot of ways. You know, if we're really going to keep our food system going for the next 10 or 20 years, it needs to become more sustainable and be in more harmony with our environment. And, you know, that means investing more in clean energy and investing more in crop diversification and, yeah, just really taking care of our wild lands as well as our farmlands, because without our wild lands, we lose a lot of our pollinators and wildlife and water protection. So I am excited to see how it will change, and I just hope that we can really come together and do it quickly so that we're prepared for the future.
Thank you very much, Sarah. And in case you just tuned in, this has been Sarah Starman from Mighty Earth talking about the forum Corn, Climate, and Conservation, which was held in Des Moines last Monday.
Thank you, Susan. Thanks for having me.